Miss Marie here. Thank you so much for your continuous support on hashtag Pussy Perspective, where you can learn how to make the pussy purr by listening to her. For this season, we are tapping into our hashtag Brospective headspace so I can feature all of the amazing men in my life. I hope you all have a beautiful day and love always, Miss Marie. Mwah. On this week's episode of Hashtag Brospective, I got to interview my friend Anton. Anton, aka Baby Buddha, is a beautiful person I had the pleasure of meeting on set of a show called Euphoria. We talk about things like spiritual vibrations, yoga, his journey from Russia to America, his experience in the music world, and so much more. So meow, without further ado, I present to you the final episode of Season 2, Hashtag Brospective. Mwah.
This call is now being recorded.
This call is now being recorded, and today we have the season finale of Season 2 Brospective. Let me start that over, okay? This call is now being recorded, and today on hashtag Pussy Perspective Season 2 Brospective, we have the season finale, and we're ending off with a bang with my good friend Anton Goodkov. Anton, thank you so much for being here today.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Anton is a really amazing person. We originally met on set of a show called Euphoria, in the Hollywood world. And since then, we've connected on cyberspace because we both have similar paths in like spreading our spirituality and helping heal people through meditation and things like that. So I'm very excited to pick his brain. But first off, Anton, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where are you from?
So my name is Anton and I'm from Russia. I came to United States, I would say like 5 years ago. Yeah, in December it's going to be 5 years. And I used to live in New York. From New York I moved to Chicago. And from Chicago I moved here to sunny LA. And it always was my dream to live in LA and be here. But I never knew how it's going to happen. And I'm from really... conservative place, Russia, as you know, and I am gay, and as you know, in Russia, it's kind of hard to be yourself, not just being gay, right, in general, being something different, and I never felt myself being actually there comfortable or being there part of the Russia, so when I was like 14 years old, I think, when I figured out that I need to go somewhere else from Russia, and I put it in my mind that I'm going to go to America, and I love America, and I've never been in America, so it's kind of weird, never seen the country, but love it so much, and I decided that I'm going to go here, and I moved to New York with $1,000 and one bag, and I just had this idea that I have no choice, I just want to be here, and if we're going to go really deep into conversation, I wasn't really bad environment. I was in hospital because of the of me being gay in school or being in the summer camp. So I just felt that I'm never going to be happy or I'm never going to be myself there. So I had this surge to go somewhere else and leave and survive. So I moved to the United States and I love the United States. I struggled a little bit when I moved to New York. It's not easy for immigrants, that's for sure. And but the one thing I kept in my mind that I'll be okay. That's what I was telling myself every single day. Anton, you're going to be just fine. That was my mantra, actually, because sometimes times getting really dark and you can lose the strength and you feel like it's not worth it, but I want to tell everybody it's always worth it if you believe in that and if you feel like it's your chance to live and be yourself. That's that's what you have to do. Just follow your heart and follow your intuition. That's what I was doing. I didn't even know English. I couldn't even speak English that much. I could like order something at a restaurant and saying like, I want this, this and this. That's all I could say. But now I just kind of understood how to live in this country and the system, the traditions, the environment, people around, even slang. I understood how people communicate with each other. So I came here, and if we're going to talk about myself, I'm going to say that I'm a musician. I'm a songwriter, I'm a piano player, I'm a singer, and music always been my main focus, and still music is my main focus. But this kind of crazy time right now made me to go to the direction of yoga, which is never been a side of me. It's always been inside of me, and I always loved yoga. Since I was doing yoga since 11 years old, I think. Yeah, 11 years old, the first time I was introduced to yoga, and since then I felt that yoga is my, I would say escape. Kind of, it's not the right thing to say escape, but I felt that when I do yoga, when I am in this space, I feel myself the most. And so now I got certified. Now I'm certified yoga teacher. And Danielle just went on my online meditation past Sunday, which is, I was so happy to see you there. It was really nice. And I'm going to have much, much more. And next Sunday, I'm going to have meditation as well. So please come if you want to. I'm really happy to see people there. And I'm more happy to see people's life is changing because of meditation and self-awareness and well-being. And I just like to inspire people. That's pretty much a little biography of me.
That was perfect. What a perfect bio, just on the spot, like right in your flow, ready to go. I love it so much.
So at the beginning when you were
introducing yourself, I love how you just came out and said, well, I'm gay. Like, that was like one of the first sentences that you said in describing yourself. And I think that's so cool that you're able to just like come out and just like say it so strongly, because I bet it was difficult at one point to be able to
Absolutely. Yes, I can say for sure. It was one of the, when I came to New York, I came with my ex-boyfriend, and we came together, and I couldn't do anything. I couldn't hug him, I couldn't be next to him, I couldn't show any feelings or anything, but I knew it's okay in LA. In New York, I'm sorry. In New York, it was okay. In the United States in general, that's okay, and people kinda get used to it already and they accept you, but inside of me, I was programmed that it's not okay. And now it took me 5 years. 5 years it took me to say proudly who I am, that I'm gay, and that's my life, and I'm proud of myself. And if somebody has problems with that, that's okay. That's all right. But I accept myself. I think this is the most important thing, is to accept yourself.
Yeah, that's so inspiring. It's interesting when you're describing your experience going through all of that. It made me reflect on my own personal journeys through polyamory. Are you familiar with polyamory?
Mm. Yeah, no, so, I'm not sure.
So polyamory, so there's monogamy, right? Is when you have one partner. And then so polyamory is more than one partner, multiple partners. And so this is a journey that I've been going through for a really long time. Of the last relationship I was in was a polyamorous dynamic. And through that whole process, reading books, experiencing it for myself, I come to realize that I know I have it in my heart, the capacity to love more than one person. And so that's something that is not the majority, right?
Yeah,
it's not really part of our culture. But then, like, you know, the two people that I have in mind, I love them both so much, and I have each of their backs, like, to the end of the world, and I enjoy both of their company, and I'm, like, you know, super honest and communicative with them. But then I can tell, like, I do love them. both of these people. But if you talk to the normal person on the street about the situation, they think you're crazy. slut shamed.
Absolutely. But, you know, in the gay community, I would say for sure that it's kind of common, and it's really hard to find people in the gay community who is together as monogamous for more than like 3 years. It's really rare, because I'm not sure what about the gay culture itself, but I feel like gay community never been monogamous. Kind of like it's been always in the same way, and you get understanding why it is, because, you know, you've always been in the closet, right? And all your life you've never been able to express yourself, and all of a sudden you're coming out of the closet and you have all these opportunities, and you don't want to put back yourself in the closet. You want to like experience all of this, you want like want to feel it, you want to just enjoy it. And some people cannot understand that, and I cannot put labels on people, right? So some people like certain things, and I'm not judging them. I just accept them and just saying, okay, that's who you are, as I accept myself and other people accept me. But I definitely know that, I'm not sure in the straight world how it is, but in the gay world, I would say, oh my God, it's a big problem in the gay community. Everybody wants meat.
For sure. There's this book about polyamory called Sex at Dawn, and it's really interesting because it kind of like approaches polyamory from like a textbook perspective, you know. So they talk about other cultures in the world that practice polyamory. And so mm-hmm. in these places, you know, it's like everyday life. Like monogamy is the weird concept to them. So
oh,
it's
wow.
really interesting. That's something that could, that's the norm in one part of the world, is the opposite of that in another world.
Wow, that's very interesting. I never heard this that's popular, because, you know, it's in our traditions and kind of genes, right, to be like, together, to have two, you have a partner, and you have your happy life together, and you meant to be only love one person for all your life, and that's all you want to have. But
yeah.
Nobody actually opening the box of possibilities and the different people, and you have 7.7 billion people in this world, and definitely all of them are different. I'm not saying because I think so. I know so by DNA. So all of the
yeah.
people, they're different. So how can you put all these 7.7 people by one tradition? Because it's so many of them. You have to make sure, you know, that you have to open yourself to possibilities and just know that other people actually have a different view and different perspectives and different emotions and desires. And just being open, I think, is the main thing we all need to work on, that all humanity needs to be more open to possibilities and different things.
Yeah, totally. And then that goes in all aspects, like whether it's cultural practices or religious practices as well. Like, I've dabbled in a lot of religions in my life, and I truly, even atheism, which is like a form of like, you know, structured belief in its own way
mm-hmm.
as well. And like diving through each and every single one of those, Catholicism, Buddhism, even like witchcraft and, you know, goddess worshiping and Stoicism and atheism, like all of the things, even like Judaism, you know. I used to have some friends who are Jewish, and I was like studying their culture, and it's like there's something beautiful to learn from each and every single one of those practices. There really is.
Absolutely. Yes, it's so true. And, you know, I will say that I was growing up as a Christian Orthodox, right? So the Russia is the religion, the main religion is, I think it's like 85% of Russia is maybe a little less. They have a lot of Muslim population. So it's a Christian Orthodox. And I went to this school. I went like for the whole year. I went to actually more than just school. I went to the summer camp, and we were praying before food, before eating. We were praying before sleep. We were praying and praying and praying, and all of this. It was so focused on religion. And, you know, my mom sent me there because she felt it's going to be good education for me and I'm going to be a kind person. She thought that religion is going to give me this kindness, you know, being open and compassionate. But honestly, over the years, I realized that it's just only one little, small, narrow street. And you have so many, and I was so against of all of this, Muslim, Buddhism, like all these different religions. I was so against of it because it's not Christian, and I felt like I'm gonna just betray the God and the Jesus and just kind of like go on the left and just like do something else. And I felt so ashamed of it. But they put in Russia specifically, they make you feel that if you're not gonna choose this religion, you're gonna suffer. But at the same time, in the religion in Russia, they say if you're gonna suffer, then you're gonna be happy in heaven. So if you're gonna suffer on the earth, then you're gonna be happy in heaven, which is completely a paradox, because what should I do then? That I should just suffer here on earth, and what all my life I should be suffer, being in poverty and just not have enough joy. God, or universe, or whatever you call it, created us to have a joy of life. And every single human being should feel this joy of life. And if somebody doesn't feel it, it's all because of circumstances that were created outside of this perspective. So, for example, if we're going to go to India or we're going to go to Africa, we have so many people who's in poverty, who doesn't have access to water, doesn't have to food, or just like shower in general. Like, you have so many, it's not a million people, it's a billion people who doesn't have access to water if you're gonna collect all of them together. So God didn't create it. The life on the earth created it. The war, which we have constantly, it's war somewhere is war. We have all these politicians, we have all these dictatorships, we have somebody wants some more money, or somebody wants some more power or control. And we come to this earth to experience this beautiful, I cannot say anything else, but beautiful experience of life, and to just spread it around and inspire others to do the same. But you know, all of this outside circumstances just making us to believe that we're not worth it and we're not supposed to have it. And if you're happy, then it's bad. You're not supposed to be happy. You're supposed to suffer. You're supposed to work 9 to 5, and you're not supposed to go and see Hawaii or go to Bali and see like beautiful places on this earth. You have to like be in this box and suffer. That's unfortunately most of the religions, actually, they're focused on that. You have to like follow the rules and be like in this narrow path, and if you're gonna go outside, then you're gonna get punished. So sad.
So we were talking about I was listing the like religious spiritual pursuits that I've had in my life, right? I forgot to mention one, which is aliens. And your conversation made me reflect on like something that I had read about aliens, where some people believe that this race called the Anunnaki brought humans to Earth to be a slave race, and then our mission on Earth is to like get past that.
Whoa, this is interesting. I never heard about that.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I love geeking out. And like I said, like, I don't know if I believe all of it, but I loved reading about everything and like kind of picking and choosing what meshes with my own reality.
Exactly. You're not supposed to just stick with one view. You just need to like open your eyes and see the how many of them, how many views and options and perspectives actually exist.
Yeah, totally. But, so do you believe in aliens?
I believe that we have a different intelligence. I believe that we have something more than our human minds can comprehend, because to create such a perfect world, which we're living in, you have to have so much power. You have to have much power, I mean power like control. I'm talking about power creation, the power of creating. Because so many details, right? We have, if you're going to go from like the universe itself to the ant and how many ants on the earth, right? They're really, really little. I mean, you barely can see them. So we feel like we're so little if we can compare to universe, right? But yeah. Everything that was created, it was created just for us to exist. So the trees around, the houses around, the cities, the technology, electronic devices, all these gadgets and stuff was created for us to exist. So I believe that the knowledge, we have unlimited knowledge, and we cannot, from here, from Earth, we cannot reach other galaxy just because we're not meant to be to reach another galaxy, because if we're going to reach another galaxy, we're going to understand that there's another form there. And another form can be any forms, right? Because you cannot, if we're going to talk about us as a biological, because what I believe is we have an energy, you can call it soul, right? You can call it a spirit, you can call it different ways, but I believe that we have energy inside of our bodies, which the body is just like a meat suit. And we, in this meat suit, we have to take care of it, of course, it's the main, and you cannot put this energy, this type of energy, you cannot put into anything else. This is a perfect space and environment for this energy to exist, and you have to make sure you're taking care of it. I'm just saying right now, because I know that sometimes it feels like you don't want to go to for the run, or you don't want to go for a hike, or you don't want to go to a store and buy right food. You have to go and take care of it, because you're going to get the most of the experience on this earth. You have to make sure you get the most, the maximum. And sometimes, of course, you can go sometimes and get a little, like, you know, snack and here and there. But in the meantime, you have to make sure you're taking care of this meat suit. And so I believe if you have a big 400, the scientists just counted it, it's about 400 billion galaxies in the system. It's just like in the universe. It's more than you can imagine. So if we're going to talk about the galaxies is a possibility for another existence, for another a life in the universe, I think it's a pretty high amount of possibilities to exist that we have something else. It's way too high. It's not a million, it's not a 1 billion, it's 400 billion. So I do believe that something else is there, and they just think about it. If somebody is going to come to Earth and just say hi, just like different looking organisms or just something different, people are gonna freak out. People are gonna be like, the first, we need to survive, right? So we have this inside of us, we have like, we need to survive, so we need to attack. This is the first thing we feel like. Every human being or even animal, the first thing, if they see something different, they wanna attack it. And doesn't really matter if you're really gonna be friends with this object later on, but the first thing you think is like, I wanna like push myself away from it. So that's why I think the more intelligent organisms, they're not coming inside of the earth really easily and just trying to get this a little access for us to kind of understand that something else is actually out there. Because if we're not gonna understand that something else is out there, and this is something out there is going to come to Earth, this is going to be way too much of a mess, and people are going to freak out, and it's going to be way too complicated. So I think they understand that we are not ready yet, and I don't know how many years it's going to take us, maybe thousands of years, until we're going to really understand that we're not alone, and it's not the only one, a human being or existence that we can have here on Earth and in this solar system or even universe. And when we're going to understand that, then probably they are going to understand that we know it already, and then they're going to come and say hi to us.
I mean, it makes complete sense. Like, I think about when I meet a new dog or a new cat or a pig or a cow or something, you don't just storm up to it, you know? It's just kind of like, mm-hmm. you have to like let it feel comfortable and let it come to you. So that's exactly what we have to do. We just have to wait for them to come to us.
trust. Yeah, it's all about trust and understanding that they, you know, in all of this, like TV shows and the movies, they portrayed all these aliens as they want to take us and take like laboratory work, like just take the blood and try new things on human bodies and try this and that. But why? Like, where did it come from? Did you, anybody had experience when like alien came and actually did this? Well, people say actually they had this experience, right? Like I saw so many documentaries about it. I myself, when I was in Russia, I was probably 8 or 9 years old. I remember like so vividly, my mom, now my father, he used to work really, really late. I mean, late 5 a.m. in the morning. And he was a driver for National Channel. So he was driving correspondents, like the people who would take interviews from people. And so it was a really late night. And he came home around 5 a.m. o'clock, like in the morning. And he's like, oh my God, guys, go to the window. We're like, what's going on? And it's 5 a.m. and I'm a kid. I'm like really freaking out. I'm like, what's going on? And I'm going to the balcony and I'm running there. And he's showing me the spot on the sky, which is really, really dark. And you see, it's not a dark spot like you see from the plane. It's a dark spot which is, has a form of different, like it's just like I got the instrument, the hemp pen. I'm gonna talk later about it, but it's just like this, like the hemp, this form, but it's so far, far, far away. And he said that he saw it really close when he was driving to my town. It's like about 10 miles from Moscow. And he was driving to my town and he woke us and he's like, okay, you have to see it. So I saw it with my eyes that something is there. Since then, I never saw it. So it was one life experience and I saw it. I remember so vividly. Daniel, you have no idea. I feel like it's like in front of me. And it was for like maybe 2 minutes. And after it just started like switching the side, so it was going to the right, to the left, and just jumping around and like bouncing, and it just disappeared.
Oh my God.
And I was a kid. I thought it was just like, you know, maybe it was maybe my imagination. But I think like 2 months ago, I called to my mom, and because a new Netflix show came out, right? This what did you call it? Unsolved Mysteries. No, Unsolved Mysteries, I think. I'm not sure exactly. So it's like an old show and they did remake on this new show of all unsolved mysteries of human existence. And so one of them was UFO. And it made me feel like, oh, let me ask my mom, is it really experience I had or is it my mind? And I called to my mom and she confirmed it and my sister confirmed it. And so when it's one eye, it's one thing, right? But when it's like four of us looking at it, my teacher, my mom, and my dad, it's experience.
I kind of had a similar experience, but with ghosts. But an experience where me and my mom shared it. We were at one of the houses I grew up in the earlier part of my life. And like, I always felt like I saw ghosts. Like there was this one time that I was hanging out with my cousin. I was like 4 years old or something. And then playing with a tea party set. And then we look out the window at our backyard. And then there's this lady that's like waving at us. And she's like motioning for us to come over to her. And we got like really scared. And I ran to my parents. And then there was another time where she was braiding my hair and then my grandma was braiding my cousin's hair. And then we were like looking out in the back and then there was a dude in the backyard and then he walked into the wall and we all saw it.
Oh my God, I lost my words.
Yeah, and then so they talked to the realtor and turned out someone had killed themselves in that house, in my room. So then we moved out. But, you know, that's energy. And that's like, you know, you can think about it and be like, ooh, ghost stories, whatever, like, that's crazy. But then also, like, it's not that weird. Like, one of the laws of physics is that energy can neither be created nor destroyed. And so it makes sense. If there's energy, if there's energy inside of a body and then the body goes away, why is it so far-fetched that the energy would still be around?
Oh, my God, Danielle, I cannot say how agree I am with you. This is the thing I'm saying to every single person and human being, that the energy cannot create it from nothingness, and it cannot go to anywhere. Like, it should just, it always exists in this and this 3D world, right, or 5D world, and it's always exists, and it can travel more than we think. Because our human body cannot go through the walls, right? But what about the 5D, right? If you're going to go to the 5D, then you have no human body. You don't have this molecules, which is cannot go through another molecules, which is like, it's so fascinating. And I went through this because probably, you know, he's really great. And he's a Naira, he's a doctor who completely, I don't know how many, like maybe like a thousands of different brain scans he did. His name is Joe Dispenza, and he's an amazing guy. Oh my God, I dream to go and meet him in person, because this guy just changed my mind, and this guy is like, I love him so much, and I admire everything what he's doing. So I want to come back to the, before we're going to go too far from this topic, the house where I live right now is a really interesting house. So the guy who used to live in this house, he was a really famous comedian, and he had this, like, you know, Jim Carrey, right? So yeah. Everybody knows Jim Carrey, and he went through certain times as well, but thank God that Jim Carrey had such a great support and the group who can support him, and he had people who can guide him, and he came out of this really horrible experience that he had, right? Now, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that, but he had really, really deep depression and suicidal thoughts, and he thought that the life is over, because time goes by, right? And the humor is always different. And sometimes it's current, and sometimes you're already like, you're looking for something else. The same joke three times, it's not funny anymore. So you have to like, and it's really tricky business. And so this guy, he was going through the same stage as Jim Carrey. And I'm not sure if I can say it on a podcast. I mean, it's really really interesting details. Danielle, should I go deeper?
Yeah, please. I don't see why not.
Okay,
freedom
right.
Of speech, man. This is America.
Okay. Love it. Yeah, that's why I'm here.
Exactly why you came here from Russia.
Absolutely. Okay, let's celebrate it with my story.
Carry on.
So the before I moved to this house, I was visiting this house for so many times because it's my really best friends. I love them so much. They're a gay couple. They are together. Are you ready? 25 years.
Wow.
They've been together for 25 years. It's like, it's bizarre for me. For gay couple, it's like a, you know, like a dog life. So for a gay couple, for a gay people, 25 years, you can like, you can multiply it by 7. For
yeah.
Sure. And
that's cool.
They are like, and they're so sweet together. They're like the best people ever. And long story short, I moved to this house, and before I moved to this house, I was taking care of the house because they were out of the town. So I needed like water plants and just do some stuff. And they're like, "Oh, if you want to stay in the house, it's fine. It's your house. Do whatever you want to do. It's like you can just hang out here." I was like, "Wow, that's so sweet of you. Thank you so much." I was so excited about that. And I came to the house. And I didn't know the story. I didn't know the story I'm going to tell you right now. But I'm really particular about energy. I don't know how it was building inside of me. I don't know why it happened. But I'm so cautious about people energy and the energy of the places I am, like, hanging out or living or having any experiences in general. So I heard sounds, how, you know, when you walk on the old floor, you have these sounds, like,
yeah,
like, mm-hmm. It's exactly. So I heard those sounds and I was like, you know what, let me close my door. Let me just close my door while I sleep. It's gonna be better. So I closed my door because I thought I'm just making up stuff, because our brain, you will be surprised. Our brain creates about 65% of things which actually doesn't exist. So we are actually saying, we just imagine all the time. We're just imagining. We're just like living in the imagining state all the time. But actually, because, you know, like, when you talk to somebody, you start thinking things, but actually they never happen. But you start thinking things like, oh, what? How did he look at me? Oh, he looked at me this way. But why did he look at me this way? Oh, maybe because I'm like this. But not, and you all create it in your mind, right? So besides this, you have these experiences, you have a little noise, and you're trying to understand why this noise came from. And me, like, particularly, my mind goes crazy. For 5 seconds, I can go through so many different scenarios. It's like insane. And so I closed my door and I slept and it was great. I woke up in the morning and I went home. And after 2 months, circumstances and everything happened. I moved to this house and we had a dinner, and one of the dinners, the one of the owners of the house, he told me the story that this guy, comedian, he was going through one stage of, like, you know, everything is lost. He is not interested anymore and nobody's asking him for the shows. And so he shot himself in the bathroom, in the master, like in the bath. And, but he didn't shot him in the head. He shot him, I think, somewhere else. So he had his strength to go from the second floor downstairs to the living room. And there was the place where he was laying down, and they took him to the hospital, and he passed away in the hospital. And I was quite shocked hearing this story at the dinner. I was really like, it was really a nice cod fish we were eating, and I lost all my appetite because this story was so, like, unusual. But at the same time, I'm like, Anton, you're so open for these experiences. You have to be open. And I was building, it was, no, I'm not right. It was like 4 months ago. So 4 months ago, I had this story. And after this story, 2 months after, I moved to the house. So now I'm living by myself in the house because they moved, they just in the house in New York. So I'm alone by myself in this house. And I hear all the different noises, like somebody is moaning, like it's like unusual noise. And another thing, like when you're downstairs sitting on the couch, you feel like, you know, the sound when somebody's walking on the floor, you clearly, and I am a sound engineer. Like, I went to college, I'm a sound engineer. I went through all these frequencies. I know every single frequency, what the frequency is for the human steps, what the frequency for the animal steps, what the frequency for, like, somebody just fall on the floor. I know all of this, and I started, like, analyzing it, and I get really, like, I get chills. I'm like, I don't know if I can, like, be in this house. Like, it's too much for me. So I decided that I probably need to clean it. And have you heard about Mayan Copal?
No, Copal? Please explain. No.
So the Mayan Copal is really, so the Mayans, as you know, right? They were using the Mayan, the Copal, the tree, the juice of the tree, which creates, it's like kind of like wax. And they put it on the charcoal, and it gets a little smoke. So they were using this for their rituals of cleansing. So if, like, for example, if person feels like he's trapped in his past, they would cleanse him so he can like let go of all the spirits which is following him, and he doesn't want them anymore, or he has like maybe some just heavy feeling or energy, and they were using it for the big ceremonies, like somebody was born, or somebody was like a wedding, and they were using it just like for incense, let's say, just like to burn it. And I learned about this, I'm not sure how to call it, but magic or whatever, and I was like, let me try. So I had my kopal, and I put my kopal, I walked through all the house, I cleaned the whole house, and you have to cleanse it. If somebody wants to do it, I'll do it for your house. I mean, like, it does work, and I feel like, oh my god, I feel so amazing in the house now. It's completely different experience. So you have to go through the house and just make sure you get everything like in the really special places, in the kitchen or living room or the bedroom. And after maybe I would say like 3 days, I burned a little bit of sage, and I went through the house with the sage, and after that I stopped feeling. It's not about even noises anymore. It's more about the feeling that you have inside of the house, that you're afraid of darkness,
the energy
that you want to like turn on the light. You don't want to go to this place. You like, you have this energy, and I felt like I don't want to feel this energy in the house. I want to be able to just go to anywhere and just feel free and feel so safe. And I just put myself on the stage. And I was meditating a lot about that. I'm like, Anton, if somebody is going to contact you and is going to give you a message and is going to move the stuff around or hide stuff or leave something, and trust me, I saw footprints. I saw footprints in bedroom, which were way smaller than my own footprint. So I thought like maybe it was me. I went to the balcony and came back, but I put my footprint, I put my foot next to this footprint, and it was smaller than mine. And the housekeeper just came 3 days ago, so that was bizarre. And since I cleansed the house with sage and kopal, I have nobody here. I feel so free, and maybe those spirits were not that friendly, but I always open to new experiences. You know, you have to be open to new experiences, and this experience was, I would say, one of the brightest life experiences in my life, connecting with the five-dimensional world, I would say.
That's amazing. And also, you know, I bet you healed those energies as well. You know, just as much as you healed the house, I'm sure that energy was stuck there for a reason, and I bet you helped set it free in one way or another.
Absolutely. And you know, the guy who lives here, the one husband is really, he's really analytical. So, you know, we have an analytical mind, which just controls us only 5%. We have subconscious mind, which is 95%. So that our subconscious mind, which is 95%, is the... Did you know that we're carrying our thoughts day by day, and we have only 80%, or we have only 15% of new thoughts, and we have 80% of old thoughts? So every day, we just have 15% of new thoughts, and the old thoughts is just like following us every single day.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't think of it that way, but it's so cool to visualize. And you can definitely
Absolutely.
Advantage. Gosh, I just
exactly.
love hearing how well-rounded and open-minded you are, both in like the way that you take care of yourself and just like the way that you view reality. It's super, super cool, especially when you're talking about like taking care of your energy and your vessel and stuff like that. Like Anton leads this amazing meditation practice that he's now doing every Sunday. I'll put the information in the description box so you guys can check it out. But he just changes the vibe. He really ups the frequency in an amazing way. Even just getting on the phone with you, Anton, all of a sudden I was like, I'm recharged. I feel it. Like I feel your light. It's like truly, truly amazing.
I love it. I love it so much. I love to hear feedbacks like this because, you know, I have experienced a lot of things in my life and I feel like I have an old soul, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I really want to give everything I have, the all knowledge and the experience that I have to other people, which you can use it. You can use it in your own life. And, you know, you had experiences that I never had, right? And I had experiences which you never had. So when we exchange this, when we understand each other, we understand from different perspective, understand that we are actually the one with a different past, right? With a different circumstance that we went through, then we understand that actually we can change everything. We can change ourselves for the better and we can create, not even change. We can create the future that we want.
It is so true. I love that. It is so true. This is kind of off topic, but I just popped into my head. So I was like looking at your Instagram a while back and I saw that you had a picture with Travis Wall.
Yes. Oh, Travis. Yes, I do.
I love his choreography on So You Think You Can Dance so much. Me and my little sister used to watch his choreography like repeatedly.
Really? Wow, that's so nice.
And I was like,
no,
oh my
amazing,
God.
he's an amazing guy. I met him when I moved to LA, I think like maybe like a year after I moved to LA. And he was just getting in, it's the truth, you know, I'm going to say it because it's the truth and it's the life. So he was, he just got engaged with his boyfriend and they were together for like 5 years or so. And he was about to get married and he was engaged. He was so happy and I met him and I was like, oh my God, Travis, you're amazing. He's like, no, you're amazing. And he's like, he always does it. And I was dancing. I was dancing for 6 years when I was in Russia. I was dancing for 6 years. I was, I wouldn't say anything, but I was just like, I was one of the best dancers and I was going to like competitions. I felt the dance, it was my purpose. I felt it so much because I was dancing since I was like 7 years old until 14 years old. And I felt like dance is my thing. I want to dance. It's all I have. But when I went to a different school, to the music school, it was a kind of like a theatric school, and I started singing opera. So it a little changed my mind, and I felt like, oh, I like opera too. So, you know, when you're a kid, you're just trying things. But I still have this rhythm, and I love it so much. So to see somebody like him, who is super professional, and that's his purpose. That's his purpose and this life, to like give it to other people, to feel it, to understand that you can express yourself through the movement and to talk to him. That was really nice. You know, when you talk to a person, just like you, with you, Danielle, when you talk to the person who has the same mindset, it's a pleasure. You don't understand what time is, how long it's been. You're just talking and talking. And then when I saw him, I talked to him for about, it was a restaurant at Chikonis, I think, and it was somebody's birthday, and I saw him, and I was talking to him, for, I think, like, about, like, hour and a half, and we were sitting next to each other, and all of a sudden, another person is like, guys, can I leave you? Are you okay? Like, you want to just talk? Okay, wait, we're just gonna go, okay? You want to stay here? Okay. And I felt like such a connection, you know, when you meet people who is the same, like the same mind. I think that's what we're looking for, our like human condition. We're looking for people we can be ourselves, we can talk about our soul rather than talk about like material things, like, oh, you have a car, or you have like a beautiful apartment, or you just like talk about who you are, who you truly are. So honestly, that was one of the highlights of my life. I loved it so much.
Oh, that is so beautiful. I feel like I mean, pre-COVID, right, when we were still able to do the Hollywood bustle thing, but I feel like I was meeting some golden souls, just like you were talking about through that industry, like you, for example, and Parker is another one. I hope you two get to meet someday, because I think you'll really get along. That was so sweet of you to send her the secret.
Oh my God. Oh, Danielle. The secret changed my life. I say with 100,000%. I mean, I've read so many books. I've read a lot of books. I'm not going to say how many, but I've read a lot of books. But this book is just, it changed my perspective on life. And it changed my question. It changed the main question that everything what happens to you, it happens not to you. It happens for you. And everything what happens for you, you have to just take it and understand, what can you take from it? Do you want to take like the must out of it? Do you want to take like the old bad experience that you had, and you just want to take it and understand, okay, dang, that was so horrible. I felt so miserable. I never want to feel the same way anymore. What can I do not to feel the same way anymore? And then you grow, and then you feel like strength, and you feel like, okay, now I figured out the way that I don't want to feel the same way anymore. How can I give to other people this tool so they're not gonna feel the same way anymore? And that's why I felt like I want to give this book, and I didn't even care about anything. Just like, I want to give this book to this person, because I was so surprised. You probably saw me when we had this a Zoom call. You saw me. I was so like, you never heard about this book? What?
Yeah, totally.
I was like, you getting a book. You get, everybody gets the book.
Everybody gets the book. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was so sweet, you know? And like the fact that you were just so excited because you know how much that book has impacted your life and you wish that upon someone else. I just think that's so beautiful and so sweet. So thank you for all you do when it comes to just raising the vibe and doing all that stuff. So what other projects are you working on right now?
So I'm working on my brand right now. I'm working on my yoga brand. So I'm trying to create a family, and I want to create a family and the community that we're all going to be together. And I want to change people's lives. Like, I really do want to get impact, and I want to give everything what I have to other people so they can apply it to their daily life and can feel and see that the life is actually beautiful, even though you're going through really hard times. But for me, it's main focus. I want people to ask me questions, and I want them to give the honest answer. Because a lot of people actually trying to hide everything, the vulnerability or like the hard experience that they had before. But why would you hide it if you went through it? You're safe and sound now. So give this out. Just give this knowledge. How did you do it? What were your tools? What exactly your thought, the thought process? Because I couldn't understand it. When I came to Los Angeles, I went through crazy times too. I moved so many times. I moved like, for 3 years, I moved like 5 times. And I was living from one place to another, and I never felt comfortable at the places where I used to live. It was always like, you know, I felt like pressured. I felt not free. I felt like I'm living with a person, because in the United States, actually, by the way, in Russia, it's not like that. In the United States, you always have a roommate, right? Until like 30 years old, or even 30, like over 30, you have roommate. In Russia, when you leave your parents, most likely you're gonna get your own place. I would say like maybe 85%. And in the United States, to have a roommate is not more like, oh, you have a roommate, boo. it's not like, oh, you have a roommate, okay. Like, it's just like, it's a normal thing, right, for Americans in general. And I never thought about it this way. If you can get the place where you're comfortable, you love the place, and you have the person who lives with you, and you share the same space, and the person is beautiful and amazing and inspires you, and you have such a great time, why wouldn't, like, you live together? Like, why wouldn't you live in the same space? It's amazing. And you're not alone, and you have a company, you have dinners with somebody, or you can hang out with somebody. It's so fun. I love it. It's just, like, it's so beautiful. In Russia, it's more like a lonely world.
Well, that's cool. I used to spend a lot of time by myself before coming down to do the Hollywood thing last year. I was up in Humboldt County full time, and I was living in the forest, kind of away from everything. And I lived in a house by myself with my cat and my dog and my chicken. And I did that for years. And
wow.
I think there was something...
How long?
Yeah. For like 3 or 4 years.
By yourself?
Yeah, cat, dog, and chicken.
Oh, wow, this is amazing.
I mean,
this
I
is like a monk experience.
It was amazing, and it was exactly what I needed too. It's funny how certain things come into your life exactly when you need them, you know. I used to live in like this apartment that like wasn't in the, it wasn't a bad neighborhood, but you know, there was this crime. Like, I've gotten my longboard taken from my living room, or like one time
there
was like a gunshot that went through the outside of my living room wall, you know. So like, I went from that house into this like amazing experience of living in this like giant two-story house by myself with the animals, and I just soaked it up, and it offered me so much healing. Like, it was exactly what I needed, you know. And there's something to be said about that. And ever since that experience of living by myself, I really value my alone time so much. But then that being said, on the other end, I've had to learn how to adjust. Like, I still have my apartment that's like mine, you know, like only mine, and then me and my boyfriend have a shared space. And so that's been really interesting for me to kind of learn how to share space with another person again. And then also when I'm visiting LA, I live at my family's house, so then learning how to readjust to interacting with like a bigger group of people, you know. And there's something to be learned
right.
from all three of those lifestyles for sure.
Oh no, it's absolutely, I can agree with you like 100%. Actually, since you brought it up, I used to live in West Hollywood with my roommate, and he's a sweet guy. I like him so much. He is my friend for years now, and he has a gym, Playa Fitness. Please guys, go to Playa Fitness. It's a beautiful place. It's really friendly for any kind of people, especially it's big gay community there, but it's for anybody. It's such a great space to work out. But he is the guy I met so many years ago, and all of a sudden, after like 3 years, we end up being roommates, and we were living together. It was great and beautiful and fun. But I started getting into the yoga, and I felt this like urge to be by myself. And I'm like, oh, I want to get a house like in Topanga Canyon, to like Malibu, somewhere on the hill, like on the mountain, not even hills, on the mountains. Like, I would love to have just a little house, like a guest house for myself, without anybody else, just to do my practice, do yoga in the morning, meditation in the morning, and just, you know, just feel myself as myself. Because, you know, as Socrates said, if you're bored with yourself, you got a shoe.
Wait,
what
was that last part? Will you repeat it?
If you're bored with yourself, you got a problem.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Then you're the boring one.
Exactly. You have to make sure that you're like enough. You're enough with yourself. You don't need anybody else. You're okay with yourself. And a lot of people, I see it all the time, they just seeking for a company, which is not that bad, but it's not that good, because you have to make sure that you're okay with yourself. If you're okay with yourself, and if you love yourself enough, then another people is going to just connect to you, and you're going to feel more connected with the whole world, because all you need is you, honestly. you don't need anybody else. You just need you. And if you can share yourself with others, that's the miracle. That's the beautiful part of the human existence, I think.
Yeah, totally. And it keeps the ecosystem well balanced.
Mm-hmm.
I always like to look at humanity as like a giant garden, because I like gardening, you know? And it's like there's so many beautiful types of flowers, right? But they're not trying to be the other flower. They're just like their own flower, and then together they look like amazing. And same thing goes with the veggies. Like the kale isn't trying to be the tomato, and the tomato isn't trying to be the corn. They're just being their own tomato, corn, kale selves.
So true. It's so, so, so true. It's like a what do you call it? Like a garden in paradise, because everybody gets their own piece, but every piece is different. So you cannot just like get all of them together. You get your own piece, but it's different. And the piece of fruit, like you feel the peach is different taste than you try to get an apple, right? But they're not. It's not in competition. They're just different, and they're beautiful separately. Like, it's just, if human being can understand that, I think we're gonna get like to the next level. We're just gonna like jump right like from this bottom line to like 100, when we're gonna understand that we're beautiful when we're different.
Yeah, and just 100% authentically ourselves. I love that. I love that so much. Well, I have to start getting going soon because my family's coming over for dinner, but will you tell us about your hang drum?
Oh, my God. So, I'm, as I said at the beginning of the podcast, I'm a musician, right? I play piano professionally, and I love piano. Piano is my, like, lovely instrument. It's, like, one of my, I would say, like, I've tried so many instruments, but I stick with piano. And I feel like I can express myself through the piano the most. And I saw the hand pan. And I saw it in 2015, 16, I think, when I just came to the United States. And when I saw it, I honestly, guys, and it's just like, I didn't even understand what it was, because it looked so bizarre for me. And it looked like UFO. You look like, what were you playing on? It's just such a unusual instrument. And I'm a Scorpio. And Scorpios, they like something different. So my eye, just right away, I looked at this pan and I'm like, I want it. I don't know how to play it. I never saw anybody to play it, but I saw it on the video. It was 2016. And my life was really crazy at this time, so I didn't even think about getting another instrument. I didn't even have a piano. So I sold everything. I sold every single thing when I was in Russia. I sold everything. And I moved to the United States, and I had nothing besides my clothes and $1,000 in my pocket. So, like, time goes by, and I moved to LA, and I got my piano, so now I have my piano, and I'm really happy about that. I started playing. The first time I played piano when I was in LA, I started crying. I'll tell you guys, I was crying when I touched the keyboard. I was crying because I've missed it so much. It's been like 3 years I never played piano, and I was crying playing it. It was the first song I played. It was Titanic.
I love it so much. It's so sweet and also hysterical at the same time.
And I loved it. I was like playing as like a D minor and just like spreading my wings, basically. And I was playing piano, but I always felt like I want to try something else. And honestly, I forgot even about this instrument until, talking about the universe, right? Until I started seeing it everywhere. I started seeing it in YouTube channel, Facebook, Instagram. I went to Runyon Canyon, and the guy who was sitting in the front of, like, in the entrance of Runyon Canyon, he was playing this instrument. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. That's too much. Like, this is too much. Like, I need to get it. I think universe is just like honestly telling me that it's something I really need to get, and this is a beautiful instrument. I'm looking at it right now, and I was like, I need to get it. So I ordered I would say like maybe 3 months ago, and I'm not sure exactly because this instrument is really rare, or maybe because of the COVID situation, that's why I was waiting like 3 months for this to come. But when it came to my house, I was playing 4 hours. 4 hours I was playing on this instrument until my tongue, because you have to like throw your fingers on this on the handpan to get the sound. So I was throwing my thumbs on the handpan, and I was getting so into that. I started getting melody, and I'm getting melody because it just comes out like inside of me, outside to the headband. And after 4 hours, I realized that I probably need some ice because my fingers definitely really bruised and red. And I realized that I'm getting so into this instrument. That's what I was talking about. I was talking about being yourself, right? You never know how you can express yourself the most. It can be through the paintings, it can be through the musical instruments, it can be through the dance, it can be through the business. You can just create a company, right? Like this Airbnb, like just like something came to my mind. Like you create the company, which is, you always wanted it, right? You always traveled around the world and you never liked the hotels and you wanted to live somewhere else, but not the hotels. And by the way, I can create a company, so boom, and you created something everybody likes. So when you can express yourself through the tool, and this is the tool, I think this is the best tool I can express myself through. We'll see how that goes. But 4 hours and the bruised fingers actually tells me that probably it's the right instrument. I really, really like that I can just express myself through things I choose, because I'm really fortunate and I'm really grateful for that I'm in the place where I can just be myself and do what I want to do. And I inspire every single one of you, just be yourself. Just when you're afraid to be yourself, then you're going on the right direction, because it's okay for people to be afraid of difference. And aren't you afraid of difference when you like feel like, of course you are, of course you like feel like, oh, whoa, what is it, let me analyze it, right? This the first thing comes to your mind. So when you accept it and you being yourself, people really appreciate it. And in this world right now, it's so many digital stuff, it's a lot of gadgets, and it's a lot of people who so consumed of the information, because right now it's like informational war. Like whatever the information you're going to give, that the person is going to say, okay, this is the truth, then I'm going to follow it. So if you're going to show that, no, that's who I am, if you're not okay with that, that's okay too, right? You have to accept it, that people are not okay with that. But you always will find people who's going to follow your path, and it's going to inspire you, it's going to make you be a better person, and you're going to live the happy and healthy life.
That is so beautiful, Anton. Oh, you're such an inspiring person, and I am so grateful to know you and to be connected. Thank you for all you do for us humans and other creatures alike. If people want to know more about you, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram. My Instagram name is babybuddha.a, or you can find me on my website. It's www.agudkov.com. And I always post, better to go on Instagram, because I post all this, the current information on Instagram, or a Facebook page, you can find me there as well. But I think the Instagram right now, it's like the main platform for everybody to connect. It's babybuddha.a. And I'm really happy, everybody, if you can connect with me. I would really, really appreciate it, the way you never think. Like, I would give you so much value. I just love to share stuff with other people.
And and I can vouch for that, everyone. He does bring so much value into everyone's lives.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Anton, aka Baby Buddha, for being the final guest on hashtag Pussy Perspective Season 2, Brospective.
I love it. Actually, I'm really happy about that. I never knew I'm going to be the last episode, so I felt really honored.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's already here. It's like episode 11, so it's kind of like...
Oh my God, don't tell me it's episode 11. Oh my God, don't tell me it's episode 11. Whoa.
It is.
This is like, oh my goodness, this number is following me everywhere.
Well, I noticed your sliding scale for your yoga class is $1 to $11, and I was like, that was intentional.
No, I'll tell you more. I was born in 1994, November 12th. So if you're going to combine all the numbers, it's got to be the number one. And if you're going to combine my time when I was born, it was when I was in Russia, you do a different time. You do like army time, right? So it's 16, like 4 o'clock. So you do 16:39. So if you're going to combine all those numbers, it's going to be 1-2. So if you're going to combine the time and the year and the day, it's going to be 11.
Oh my gosh, I love it. That means you're on the right path. It's just one of those things. It's a sign that you're like heading in the right direction. That is so cool. I love it.
Absolutely. Wow. I'm really happy to be here. Yay!
Well, thank you so much again. I hope to see you in like physical reality really soon, but otherwise I'll see you at yoga and at Sacred Love Circle, hopefully.
Well, I'll see you on Sunday for sure. I would be really happy to see you on Sunday. But yeah, we need to figure out something. Maybe we can test ourselves for COVID-19 and make sure we can hug each other, because I'm really a hugging person. I like to hug people.
Yeah, totally. Well, I've actually been doing a lot of live streaming for this app called Live It. And one of the guests that comes to my page works for a company that supplies medical supplies. And he gave me a website where you can get free COVID tests that you can have for your home. So I'm going to go do a little investigation on that, and then I'll keep you updated.
Oh, please do. I would love it. Sounds really amazing.
Yeah, and then it takes 4 days. But still,
Well, it's whatever. It's better than not to hunt. Not to hug somewhere.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I agree with you. Well, sir, I hope you have a beautiful rest of your evening. Thank you again.
All right, thank you so much for having me. I had such a beautiful time, guys. I inspire every single one of you to just be yourself.
Be yourself. All right, adios, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed learning from our points of view. If you would like to become a supporter of the Pussy Perspective movement, please click on the support button or follow my journey at patreon.com/MissMarie. Thank you for everything. Have a beautiful day and love always, Miss Marie. Mwah. And scene.